Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Now, when I launched this initiative, I said that government can't play the primary role in a young person's life. Taking responsibility for being a great parent or mentor is a choice that we as individuals have to make. No government program can ever take the place of a parent's love. Still, as a country, there are ways we can help support dads and moms who make that choice. And because no parent who works full-time should have to raise a family in poverty, it's time for Congress to follow the lead of state after state, get on the bandwagon, and give America a raise.
Blue Monday, how I eat Blue Monday. Got to work.
Give Central America a raise, too, and give Mexico a raise. Yes, give us your tired, your poor, and you're hungry. Give everyone a raise except the American veterans. Welcome to the Savage Nation. It is Blue Monday on the program, and boy, the world is burning. The world is burning, and the president is golfing, and John Kerry is talking about climate change. The president was at West Point a while ago, and instead of talking about the growing scourge of radical Islamic terrorism around the world, on the rise everywhere that we have left the vacuum, instead of talking about the scourge of radical Islam and how to wipe it out, instead of telling our young men at West Point to go out and fight for our freedoms, he told them to fight climate change. Yes, indeed, it's a strange world in America today, and stranger it's going to get indeed. Yesterday was Father's Day, as most of you know, except those of you who live in San Francisco and think you never came from a family. It was Father's Day, and we celebrate Father's Day in America, despite the fact that you celebrate the world's naked bike ride. The world is burning, and you fools think that riding naked on a bicycle is a real cool mark of protest. You're just so au courant in San Francisco. Yes, let's have a naked bike ride. Let's shock the bourgeoisie from Kentucky and from Kansas. Let's ride naked in San Francisco and think we're so wild and cool. Yes, indeed. Well, yesterday, I was watching a boxing match replayed of a man named Cotto. Those of you who don't follow boxing, it doesn't matter. He's amazing. He's fast. And what happened was, during the fight, I noticed that the opponent, who was excellent, was hitting him maybe once, and Cotto would counter with three blows. In fact, by the sixth round, it became apparent that he couldn't be beat. Cotto could be they couldn't touch him. The opponent could not touch him. Could not touch him. Couldn't lay a glove on him. And as I say, for every one blow that hit Mr. Cotto, Cotto returned three. And a bell went off in my head, and I realized that that's President Obama. He's like a championship fighter who cannot be touched by his opponents. If you listen to talk radio, if you listen to the belly-aching Republicans, what you hear are crybabies. People moaning, oh, he did this, oh, he did that, oh, no one will do anything. Oh, he did this, oh, now he did that, oh, he did this, oh, he did that, like a bunch of sissies. All you hear on talk radio is sissies crying about Obama. And then I realized something. We have him all wrong. And so I wrote the president a letter, a Father's Day appeal, which I published. And I really, you know, many of you listen to the show. I mean, I know we have a large audience. I run into people who never go to the website. I'm not going to read you the whole essay. Please go to michaelsavage.com and see my Father's Day appeal to the president. You'll see a beautiful picture of the president, the first lady, and two beautiful children. And you'll see my appeal to the president. I want you to send it to everyone on your Facebook and Twitter lists. And I want to read you what I wrote, and then I'm going to ask you what you think about it. We're also going to talk about the butchering of the most beautiful creatures on the planet, our elephant friends. If you have any idea what's being done to our friends in Africa, your heart would break, as mine has. I just made a donation to an elephant fund. You say, well, what good is it? Go to michaelsavage.com and have your heart break. And I want you to cry. I want you to get sick, as I've gotten sick many a night, as I see them with their trunks cut off, laying left to die and rotting. And you have to ask yourself, what kind of humanity do we have on this planet that will butcher Christians and Christian villages and we do nothing? And now you say, who cares? What's a Christian to me? I'm a wild, free person. I don't care about Christians. Well, maybe those liberals out there who care nothing about Christians being slaughtered by Islamic militants or murderers or psychotics will care about the elephants. And we've got to stop the trade in ivory in China. Yes, it's the good old friends in China who think it's so cool to have a little carving made of ivory. Yes, it's the Chinese behind it because they are the ones buying the ivory. We'll talk about that and what you can do to stop the slaughter of these beautiful creatures in our lifetime. But let me begin with a Father's Day appeal on the Savage Nation. Here's what I wrote the president. And as I read this to you, I'm going to ask you what you think of my email to the president. I'm sure he'll never see it, but just maybe, this letter will reach him. Dear President Obama, I wrote, you are like a champion boxer who cannot be touched by your opponents. You have outsmarted and outboxed them at every turn. I appeal to you to understand where your victories have and are leading our nation. While you may think winning is all, you must also understand that even victory has its consequences. And while you may actually believe you're doing the best for our nation, the exact opposite may be true. Yes, Mr. Obama, you are the champion. You have crushed your domestic political opponents. But at what cost? Why have our foreign enemies been winning at every turn? Could it be you have and are being used by evil forces? In the following pages, meaning in the book that I'm about to write, I try to spell out the disasters both home and abroad which have befallen our great nation. For the sake of your children and the other children of America, Mr. Obama, please consider the results of your keen political skills. Is it a safer America, a freer America, that your beautiful children will inherit? Or have your advisors taken us down a dangerous path, where spying on every citizen now threatens each of us, where your obsession with immigration reform has led to a floodgate of unskilled immigrants who will be a burden on your children's children and who have displaced the poorest of America's poor in their need for services, which we can never afford? Where your targeting of your conservative political opponents with IRS audits has all but annihilated the two-party system so carefully preserved for these past centuries since our founding. Would your children benefit from one-man rule, Mr. Obama? Will America's children be better off with a one-party system, Mr. Obama? Mr. Obama, please scan the following pages. I'm again referring to my forthcoming book. And try to understand the dangers you have created both domestically and around the world. While you are a political genius and champion who cannot be touched by your domestic opponents, I appeal to you to give peace a chance. To give peace a chance. Let peace enter your heart, Mr. Obama, and see the dangerous straits where you have led this nation. It is not too late for a champion to stop pummeling his opponents and see where his beating them will lead. Mr. Obama, killing your opposition is not wisdom, it is murder. Let not your advisors lead you any further astray. Please use your skills to bring this nation, our people, together in peace and in strength. Michael Savage. That's my essay to President Obama. And I want to ask you, the listeners, what you think of it. I'm not going to weigh in advance by telling you what you should think of it. Many of you may be shocked that I treat him with such respect and dignity. Many of you may say for the first time, you have it just right. Many of you will not know what I just said because you haven't heard the normal belly aching about Obama on every minute of every radio show. But then again, different strokes for different folks. 855-400-7282. Neil, play the elephant sound, and I'm going to get into that in a minute. I want to hear it. Yes, our friends, the elephants, are being decimated by Islamic terrorists. They're slaughtering these giants to fund terrorism. It's the hidden underbelly of the killing of our elephants. You may not know it, but the Islamic murderers in Africa are trading ivory for money and using the money for weapons to conduct their terror attacks throughout Africa and the world. You don't know any of that because the media will not tell you that. Kenya's biggest elephant was killed by poachers recently. And I have an article for you from Paula Kahumbu. She says, it is 4 a.m., and I've been sitting at my computer for hours. I just can't sleep after hearing the terrible news that Sateo, the world's biggest elephant, is dead. He lived in southeast Kenya in Tsavo East National Park. and was celebrated as one of the last surviving great tuskers, bearers of genes that produce bull elephants with huge tusks reaching down to the ground. The news follows hard on the heels of the slaughter of another legendary tusker, mountain bull, deep inside the forest of Mount Kenya. Of all the elephants that have been killed in Kenya, these deaths are the hardest to bear. Now, I can read you more of this, but I'd rather you go to michaelsavage.com right now and take a look at the elephant. It's not Seteo that you're going to look at. You're going to see a giant, magnificent creature with his entire head removed from the eyes down. His eyes are still staring. And I want you to imagine human beings who would not only slaughter such creatures, which are protected in Africa, but butcher the creature while it's still alive in order to sell its ivory, to get money, to buy C4 explosives, to buy Kalashnikovs, and to buy other tools of the trade of the Islamic hordes that are taking over the world. Oh, yes. Under Mr. Obama, the Islamic murderers are on the rise. They're not on the run. I'll repeat that. Under Mr. Obama and the girls from Harvard, the Islamic murderers are on the rise, not on the run. And the elephants are now our canary in the coal mine. Let me repeat that to you. The elephants who are being slaughtered by the Islamic murderers are the canaries in our coal mine. If they will slaughter these magnificent creatures, and they will slaughter Christians with impunity, and the world does nothing, how long will it be until a bomb goes off in your mother's house? And as George Orwell wrote, if a man comes to put a bomb in your mother's house, put a bomb in his mother's house first. We have the most powerful weapons on earth, with the biggest cowards in the world in charge of these weapons. And as a result, the small armies of Muslim terrorists are winning around the world. And let me remind you of something else. I have studied history. And the way the Muslims took over two-thirds of the world over 1,000 years ago was with small armies that conducted small attacks. They never had big weapons. They had one thing other than big weapons. They had utter viciousness. And they burned, and they killed, and they slaughtered, and they massacred, and in so doing they conquered two-thirds of the civilized world with their small armies, as they are now doing once again. Meanwhile, at the same time this is going on, the cowards in our leadership in the West sit quaking with fear. Instead talking about global warming and gay rights and humanitarianism, all the while the world is burning. And remember what I said to you in this opening on the Savage Nation. Let these words drill into you like hot coals. The elephants that are being slaughtered are the canaries in our coal mine. You're next. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Still got too many workplace policies that belong in the 1950s, and it's time to bring them up to date for today's families, where oftentimes both parents are working. Moms and dads deserve affordable child care and time off to care for a sick parent.
Here he goes pushing the left-wing agenda that's been dropped in Europe, which tried it, sticking to his 1960s anti-American mentality because his advisors are stuck in the past, not in the future. And I wrote a Father's Day appeal to the president, where I compare him to a champion boxer who cannot be touched by his opponents. Just like this Cotto fight, each time Cotto's opponent hit him with one punch, Cotto was so quick, his hand speed was so fast, that he counted with three blows. And by the sixth round, he had worn out his opponents. Right now, in this year of Obama's second term, he has worn out his Republican opponents. They have given up. They're defeated. Yes, you heard me. He is like a champion boxer who cannot be touched. And that's why I wrote my appeal. And I want you to understand something. Nobody in the media, in the conservative media especially, only in the conservative media, because obviously the liberals wouldn't write it, nobody has written what I've written. Nobody has taken the lead I've taken. No one has appealed to Obama as a champion, as a winner. Every one of them is using the wrong approach. Maybe, just maybe, and I say maybe, this appeal to the president on a totally different level will have an effect that all of the attacks cannot. What do you think of that? KSFO, CJ, you're on the Savage Nation. What do you think of me calling Obama untouchable?
Brought up for un-American activities, corruption, and...
Wait, hold on. CJ, whoa, back up, please. What do you think of my calling Obama a champion who cannot be touched?
Well, I think he can't be touched in some ways, but I do think there's some way around that. I don't think he's a champion. I think he's an ignoramus who is mentally ill. He's cunning.
Well, but you see, but more of that talk will get us nowhere. We can call him ignoramus, we can call him mentally ill, we can call him anything we want. Has that changed his behavior at all?
But I don't think calling him a champion will either, truthfully, Mike. I think he's too far gone. It's only going to take smart people who can outmaneuver him.
Well, let me say this. Where are all the smart people in the Republican Party who have not outmaneuvered him? Where are they? Where are they? Where are the smart people in the Republican Party who have not outmaneuvered him yet? Where are they?
We don't have them. I don't think they're not.
So if you continue to debase him and call him a moron and an ignoramus, what do you think that's going to get us?
Well, I don't think it's going to get us much anyway. Instead of so much talk, I think we need to do some strategy of some kind the way he does. In other words, we can flap our gums all we want, but if he underneath is organizing for this next election, for example, and has his minions out there corrupting the... making.
Well, you see, you hit the nail on the head. In my letter to the president for Father's Day, I appealed to him to look at what his advisors are doing, and I ask him to look at his beautiful children and ask himself if they will be living in a country he wants them to be living in, a country with one-party rule, a country that is no longer a country of freedom but of massive spying. Is that the country he wants his daughters to be living in? Maybe no one dares ask him that question, CJ.
I think it's worth a try, but I think that he...
Thank you. Thank you. So do I. So do I. Now, many of you disagree with me. That's good. That's okay. But you have to admit one thing. All of this screaming and cursing and debasing the president has done nothing except embolden him. You understand what I just said to you? I'll be back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We're talking about abuse of power is what we're talking about. And we're talking about the fact that I compare the president with a championship boxer who cannot be touched by his opponents. And I have appealed to the president with my Father's Day appeal, trying to talk to the better side about his future and the future of his children in an America that he is creating, an America in which his children must live, where there may just be a one-party system of tyranny with massive spying and a country overrun by illegal aliens that we cannot afford. Joining us right now to articulate his views on this and other important relationships with this administration is a great senator from Oklahoma, Senator Inhofe. Welcome to the Savage Nation, Senator. Always a pleasure to have you on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, it's always nice to be with you, Michael.
So we're all very worried about the untouchable nature of the president, where the Republicans don't seem to be stopping his agenda, and now the Iraq thing, where the surge of murderers of the lowest order are cutting their way through Iraq, and what, we're now going to join with Iran? Isn't that Obama's long-term goal?
Well, you know, I can remember on your show some time ago saying that the greatest threat to America is Iran. And the reason I say that, and said that at that time, because our intelligence, all the way back to 2007, had said that they are online to get not just the weapon, but a delivery system by 2015, less than a year away. And that schedule has remained the same. And so when I first heard that, I had a hard time believing it. But anymore, you know, Michael, look at Benghazi. That should have been the one thing that would happen during his administration, but people have already forgotten about that because then after that they have the five, you know, terrorists he's turning loose and coming back online with his cap and trade, and all these things one is just worse than the other, and so people forget about it. But what's happening right now in Iraq is it's just unbelievable to me. I've got a guy in my Oklahoma office who works for me. His name is Brian Hackler. I first met him when I was in Fallujah, back when. Remember when they were doing the fingerprints and all that?
Remember when they hung the contractors from the bridge?
Yeah, that's right. Well, Brian was there, and I called him up right after we found out that the president, you know, what was happening over there and about losing Fallujah. And he said he came out and said the blood, the sweat, and the tears, it just breaks their hearts. His friends who had died, and. So this is a mess over there. It's just a mess. And we're on record, and I want you to know that, Michael, because in 2009, 2010, and 2013, we told the president that you can't cut and run and just pull everybody out. You've got to stay in with all of the support systems, that the, you know, like intelligence, all these things that you can do that they can't do on their own. It doesn't cost American lives. It doesn't really cost that much money. But nonetheless, he did it. I mean, you stop and think about Bosnia and Kosovo. We've still got troops there just to make sure the transition worked.
But, Senator, don't you think that this is Obama's advisor, Valerie Jarrett's, doing and her long-term plan, which is to bring Iran and America closer?
Well, it could be. It could. I don't know who he listens to. He has a new kind of an arrogance about himself. He's even starting to go out now as if nothing. His golf game is more important than what's happening with 1,700 people being murdered in Tikrit. So I don't know who's advising him, but his advice has always been equally bad. So there's no new change there. You know, this Benghazi thing, and I do recall talking to you about that, because we had the four advisors to the president knew when the annex was bombed, the day after the first bombing in Benghazi, that it was an organized terrorist attack, and they knew it positively. And so he sends out, you know, Susan Rice to lie to the American people. Well, that should have been, that is about as bad as anything gets, and then these things keep happening. So who advises them? Who knows?
Well, I mean, we all know Valerie Jarrett, and we know of her father's relationship to the Muslim Brotherhood. We also know that there's been some strange happenings, such as, if you recall, Senator, I believe it was in 2009, our most advanced drone was mysteriously delivered to Iran by, quote, accident. Some Air Force worker delivered the drone to Iran. How did that happen? Why was no one arrested for that?
Mm-hmm. Well, that I can't answer you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like you said, it's one thing after another, too many shocks to the system. But let's talk about Iraq, Senator. We have a nightmare on our hands. We have the most despicable terrorists on the planet beheading opposition soldiers without so much as a peep out of the United Nations or the great watchers of humanitarianism around the world. Where are they coming from? Are they not the same as the, quote, rebels in Syria? Are they not one and the same?
Well, no, they came from Syria. They are the same and the same individuals. And in fact, what we had thought was the most despicable of people, they're 10 times worse than they are. Now they're coming in. They came through. That's kind of interesting, the route they came in, because they came in from the north and that would be the east at the same time. No, I'm sorry, the west at the same time, through Fallujah and up to Mosul. And so they knew what they're doing. They came through, and they are incredibly brutal, more so. As bad as things are, I ran out of adjectives to use for the five terrorists that the president turned loose on America. And yet these guys, if anything, are worse than they are.
But aren't they the rebels that John McCain wanted to arm and fund, the same exact people? Aren't they the ones now cutting a swath through Iraq?
Well, I can't answer that. I do know this, that they're the ones that we did not believe were the honorable of the opposition, and they've always been the bad guys. So I think there might be some confusion there.
Well, what about his domestic policies with regard, for example, to the Keystone XL pipeline? How can he keep blocking it when even Democrat unions want the pipeline to be approved?
Well, it's his war on fossil fuels. You got to keep in mind that prior to his second election, his re-election, he was having to be a little bit cautious about what he does. Now, after that happened, he knew that he's through in terms of being at the presidency, so he wanted somehow to have a legacy. Actually, he has two legacies. One of them has to do with the overregulation and with his war on fossil fuels. So he's looking at these guys, and I'm sure you've been talking about this. What's Tom's last name? Sayer? Yeah, yes. Tom Sayer. He's putting up $100 million to revive the issue of global warming and yes. to kill the Keystone and to continue the war on fossil fuels. Now, all of a sudden, I don't know whether it went unnoticed or not, but I was the only Republican on the two nights that they had all night long, Democrats talking about global warming. I went ahead and went down there and talked about the amount of money that they're receiving for all this testimonial. But he is now saying with MoveOn.org, George Soros, Michael Moore, that whole crowd over there, they now tell him, all right, you don't have to worry about another election because that's not going to happen. We've got to do our global warming thing. We've got to do the cap and trade. And so he's going full force to do that. Now, where are these guys? I'll tell you, I know that money is important in elections. As you know and I know, and I won't name them, but there are 11 endangered species on the Democrat side in the Senate. They are the ones, a lot of them, of course, are all of a sudden their funding problems are over. But they also have to take on these causes that no one in America believes in.
Yes.
And that's how he has done this.
But, Senator, what about Iraq? Just to switch back to the topic that is eating us all alive, seeing the slaughter of Christians in the Middle East with nothing being done, should we be using our B-2 bombers, our F-16s, our drones against the terrorists taking over Iraq?
Well, one of the things everyone agrees on, you don't want to get into the argument of boots on the ground, but we do have the Tomahawk missiles that are over there right now. You're fully aware of that in the northern part of the Persian Gulf. Those have a range that would reach anywhere in Iraq. And then, so it may not be necessary to use the B-52s, the B-2s, and some of the others, but we have that capability. Now, what we don't have, and we've talked about this before, ever since this president took office, he's been disarming America. And so now we don't have the resources to do the things that we normally would do in cases like this. So we don't have them. The same thing is true that's right now with what the Russians are doing. Putin knows that we don't have the resources we had at one time, and you know it's something that is really serious.
Has he unilaterally disarmed us to such an extent that we're actually incapable of striking the terrorists who are overrunning Iraq?
Hey, Michael, the answer is yes. I went over to Afghanistan when the president came out with his first budget. That was several years ago. And just to make sure that I can get internet or national attention, I responded to his budget message from Afghanistan with the tanks going back and forth. At that time, he did away with our only fifth-generation fighter, the F-22, did away with our lift capacity, the C-17, did away with our future combat system, did away with our ground-based interceptor in Poland. All these things, that was only his first budget. After that, he has taken under $500 billion out of the military that he was just taking out. And people say, well, wait a minute, where's all this going? Well, I was the one, our office, the one that discovered that he has put $120 billion into global warming unilaterally.
Oh, my God.
Without any authorization or appropriations. And how, you might ask, how did he get this? Don't you remember the first thing he did when he took office? The $825 billion stimulus that he's supposed to have? That put a slush fund in there for him to use, and that's why our military, our military is so disarmed right now that let me just read what General Dempsey said, our force, General Dempsey, keep in mind, is the number one military guy. He's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. He said, our force is so degraded and so unready that it would be immoral to use force. Nobody believes it. And so Obama's...
Yes, but Senator, if what you're saying is the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and I know you're an honest man, where the heck are the Republicans in calling for an impeachment? If he's disarmed us to this point, if he's working against our national and domestic interests, is this not a time for the opposition party to be heard from?
Well, I only ask the opposition party to talk about these things that are happening, like the military. One of the reasons I decided to go ahead and run again was that no one else would talk about the three things that I will talk about, one being the military, the disarming of America, one being the war on fossil fuels where we could be totally independent if we wanted to be. Then the other, these regulations are just absolutely killing this country. So we talk about these things. We don't get a lot of repeat because obviously the media loves this guy still. But we need to, all of us, keep talking about this this stuff. Now, as far as impeachment's concerned, you know, if somebody wants to bring those, I'm not going to destroy my credibility by talking about that when I'm trying to convince the American people that we cannot continue to degrade our military to the point where we can't defend America even on one front, leave alone two.
I hear you, but Senator Inhofe, is it going to take another 9/11 to wake up the average American dolt? Is that what it's going to take?
It's funny you would say that, because when I one of my favorite people is our friend Netanyahu over there. He shakes his head and wonders, why didn't America wake up on 9/11? You know, he says that we in Israel, we're used to this. We know what's happening. But somehow, time has gone by and people have forgotten. There should be no doubt. And going back to Iran, there should be no doubt that given what we, our intelligence tells us they're going to have in a matter of months, that they would use that against us. In fact, there have been a lot of things that they have tried and other countries have tried that we've been able to stop. I don't know whether it's going to take that or not, but you're not the only one to make that observation. Certainly Netanyahu's made it too.
Well, I'm in good company. At least that gives me some sense of reality. But, you know, Senator Inhofe, are you running again this November? When is your term up?
Oh, yeah, I'm in cycle right now. And one of the main reasons, I can remember election night, November election night, I had no doubt in my mind that Obama would not be reelected. I had no doubt in my mind but what we were going to take control of the Senate, and I thought we were going to be in good hands. That night, boy, I never hesitated. I went home and said, okay, you know, I've got 20 kids and grandkids. We got to save this country for them. That's what's important.
Amen. Now, look, before you go, Senator, how can my listeners from around America, in plain English, help your campaign? Many people from out of state know that we have so few Republicans willing to stand up and be counted. How do they help?
Well, I think a better question, I think, is how can they help us do what we're trying to do right now? We have a website, inhofe.senate.gov, and people who question what I'm saying when I talk about how dire straits our military is in, and yeah, the other things.
Senator, you know, we're running short, and I'd like to have you on to give you really enough time. Can you stay with us a few minutes? And at the end of the hour, we'll give all the people the links that they need to get in touch with your campaign and with America itself.
I've got to a 4 Eastern, then I got to run.
No, we're coming back in 5 minutes. We'll be right back with Senator Inhofe and tell you how you can help him in his campaign to save America. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. You know, there is such a thing as a great American, and in my opinion, Senator Inhofe is a great American, and he's one of the few Republicans out there who I believe in, and I want to have him back on. We have only a minute left. Senator Inhofe, welcome back to the Savage Nation. I know you have a lot to talk about. You have to be somewhere at the top of the hour. Is there an address where my listeners can send a contribution in plain English to help you?
What's the campaign address?
No, we don't. I'll get it later on, Senator. If you don't have it right now, it just shows you how honest you really are. I guarantee if it was Chuck Schumer, he would have had it before he even said hello to me on the program.
Michael, there is some confusion with the Obama administration trying to deny that the generals Dunford and Austin did not know in advance that they were going to turn loose these terrorists. And I personally talked to Dunford, General Dunford, the commander in Afghanistan, and he assured me that neither he nor Austin knew that the president was going to turn those people loose. So I just wanted to make sure we...
That's very important, and maybe we can have you back on later in the week when that news breaks. Senator, when we get your address, I'll put it out on the air, believe me, and link it up on michaelsavage.com. We're out of time. God bless you. God bless America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how I hate Blue Monday. Got to work, like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday.
It is The Savage Nation. Boy, that Fats Domino song has new meaning, doesn't it? Have to work like a slave all day in order to take care of the gangbangers from El Salvador and Honduras and Guatemala. You know, mixed in with all of those little girls that the media is telling you are breaking into our country, illegally at that. Mixed in with them are hardcore gang members with gang tattoos. The Border Patrol is screaming, why are we letting them in? And Obama is winking. Holder is winking them in. I don't know what it's going to take for you to wake up. But the country is being overrun. The country is being overrun by gangbangers from these countries mixed in with the little girls. So is this happening by accident or is it happening on purpose? I know many of you think it's on purpose. I can't accept that it's on purpose. I can't accept that Obama is so demonic that he's bringing in these hardcore gang members to create his own personal private civilian army that will be used against the citizenry, as some of you fear. It sounds like right-wing paranoia. Well, let me tell you something. So much negative has gone on so long under this administration that anything is possible. But I chose to take the other approach. I chose to take the high road. If you just joined the program, at the beginning of the show, I talked about watching a boxing match, the Cotto boxing match, where the announcer said his opponent could not even touch him. And when the opponent did hit him, Cotto responded with three shots. Every time the other boxer hit him with one or got one through his guard, Cotto was so fast, his hand speed was so quick, that he was able to hit his opponent with three punches. And by the sixth round, the other guy was just basically unable to fight anymore. And I said, wait a minute. A bell went off in my head. I said, our president is like a champion boxer who cannot be touched by his opponents. And I wrote him a letter, and I said, you have outsmarted and outboxed your opponents at every turn. President Obama, I appeal to you to understand what your victories have and are leading our nation. While you may think winning is all, you must also understand that even victory has its consequences. And while you may actually believe you're doing the best for our nation, the exact opposite may be true. Yes, President Obama, you are the champion. You have crushed your domestic political opponents, but at what cost? Why have our foreign enemies been winning at every turn? Could it be you have and are being used by evil forces? I try to spell out for you the disasters both home and abroad on my radio show, which have befallen our great nation. For the sake of your children, Mr. Obama, and the other children of America, please consider the results of your keen political skills. Is it a safer America, a freer America that your beautiful children will inherit? Or have your advisors taken us down a dangerous path? Where spying on every citizen now threatens each of us. Where your obsession with immigration reform, so-called, has led to a floodgate of unskilled immigrants who will be a burden on your children's children and who have displaced the poorest of America's poor in their need for services which we can never afford. Where your targeting of your conservative political opponents with IRS audits has all but annihilated the two-party system so carefully preserved for these past centuries since our founding. Will your children benefit from one-man rule, Mr. Obama? Will America's children be better off with a one-party system? Mr. Obama, I wrote, please scan the following pages of my forthcoming book and try to understand the dangers you have created both domestically and around the world. While you are a political genius and champion who cannot be touched by your domestic opponents, I appeal to you to give peace a chance. Let peace enter your heart and see the dangerous straits where you have led this nation. It is not too late for a champion to stop pummeling his opponents and see where his beating them will lead. Mr. Obama, I appeal to you. Killing your opponents and killing your opposition is not wisdom. It is murder. Killing your opposition is not wisdom. It is murder. Let not your advisors lead you any further astray. Mr. Obama, please use your skills to bring this nation, our people, together in peace and in strength, Michael Savage. Now, that's a complete divergence from anything you've ever heard in conservative talk radio in the history of radio going back to the beginning of conservative radio. No one has ever taken this approach with the opposition. No one has tried to appeal to the higher element or the better nature of their opponents, ever. No one has ever said to them, do you understand that by winning you may be losing? No one has said that the winner could sometimes be the loser and his children will suffer as well as we will. Does he understand that? I doubt it. I think they are so blinded by their lust for power. I think they're so blinded by their lust for power that they've been blinded by their victories, not even understanding where their advisors are taking them. And I want to know what you think about that. 855-400-7282. Now, while you're calling on the letter to President Obama, which you can read on my website, michaelsavage.com, which, not so surprisingly, no one in the conservative media has linked. Not one of the conservative websites has linked this important speech on their site because I am not a member of the Rush Limbaugh cartel. It doesn't matter. I have you, my audience, to read this letter on my website and then send it out to your Facebook and your Twitter followers. Try to get the message like it used to be called a chain letter in my days. Make it a chain letter. Maybe the world can see it, and maybe once the president will actually see that he may be doing the wrong thing rather than the right thing. You never know. You never know the effects that a positive note may have. Never. And I realize that there's certain tones in this Father's Day appeal that border on the religious. They border on the religious in many different ways, and I realize that there's a higher nature in myself as well, which wrote that letter. I was in a very steep depression all weekend thinking about this nation, and I stayed in the house most of the weekend watching boxing or, you know, whatever, just mulling the situation in our nation. Most grating to me was not only the fact that the murderers are undoing all of the gains that were made in Iraq with not a note of opposition from the Democrat Party, not a peep from the British, nor the French, nor the Israelis. Again, they want G.I. Joe to go over there and have his legs blown off so the world can be safe for democracy. Well, maybe America's had enough of foreign wars. Maybe it's time for the Germans and the French and the English and the Portuguese and the Italians and the Israelis, yes, the Israelis, to lift their damn behinds up and do something. I am so tired of listening to Israel complain with the most advanced military in the area and never firing a shot. I am so sick of listening to the belly aching and the kvetching of Israel that tomorrow they're going to get the bomb, tomorrow they're going to do this. Let Israel do it. They're sitting in the Middle East. We were sold a bill of goods that the reason we need to arm Israel is they're our best ally in the Middle East. And if we ever need them, a Sheriff Yitzhak Chaim will come to the aid. Well, it's time for Sheriff Yitzhak Chaim to get off of his prayer shawl and go out and do something about it instead of complaining about it. No, G.I. Joe doesn't want to die anymore for the Middle East. So that's one topic. And there's a lot of vitriol in me because I can't take it anymore. And I know I'm not alone. And I see the children being used as a cover. The children that are breaking into our country illegally. They should be stopped. We should have National Guard on the border. We should have a National Guard and a Citizens Army on that border right now and say, no, no, you're not coming in our country. You're not coming in my country. We're not taking care of you. We have our own poor. The citizens need to do what the government is not doing. And the Director of Homeland Security is violating the law. By the way, violating the law. They're all breaking the law. They're lawbreakers, not lawmakers. They're not lawmakers. They're lawbreakers, all of them. They cannot allow hundreds of thousands of illegal alien children to come into this country and mix them with them, our gangbangers with gang tattoos, according to our Border Patrol. Why are they bringing hardcore gang members in with the Trojan horse of the children from Honduras? Why? Who's doing this? Now, these are two very important questions. And if you want to comment on the letter, go ahead. I'd love to take some of your calls on that topic. And I have something important as well to come up at the bottom of the hour I got to talk about. So let me begin in New York City. On my letter, Joe on WABC, go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation.
I hate this letter. I got to be honest with you. I mean, you may as well be writing a letter to Stalin. This guy's an ideologue. He's damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. He's doubled down. He's been killing elephants, like the guys out in Africa, you know, but they're Republicans because they're gutless and they're not creative. And I'd rather be dead on my knees than I'd be standing up and down on my knees to him, and that's where it sounds like you're going here.
Well, it's easy to talk like a tough guy on the radio, but I don't see you doing anything.
Hey, listen, I'm a member of the Republican Party, and I'm working from the bottom up. I can't.
All right, so I'm working it from my point of view. I am willing to put down my ego for the sake of the nation. And I am sick and tired of people telling me you have to hate the president to get him to do anything. What has all the hatred gotten us?
Michael, he's a soulless man.
It's easy to say that, but what has that gotten us?
He's playing golf.
What has it gotten us? Does he even listen to his opponents? No. He knows they hate his guts. And so therefore, you know, Goethe wrote this, if you take a man as he is, you make him worse. If you treat a man as he can be, you might make him better. I've lived that all of my life with my children and with others. And let me repeat it for all of you out there who don't understand what I'm saying to you. If you take a man as he is, you make him worse. If you treat him as he can be, you might make him better. And that's the same thing with criminals. If you were to take that approach with criminals, you may as well kill them all, everyone in our prisons, right? If you were to say every criminal is going to come back and rape, murder, and kill again, well, then you may as well execute them all and burn the prisons to the ground. But you know that's not true. Yes, there may be a high rate of recidivism, but you can even reach hardcore criminals if you talk to the better part of them. Don't you think that's true?
I think it's possible, but at the same time...
All right, so if the president is like a hardcore criminal who will not change his ways, and the more you call him a criminal, the worse he gets, then I'm saying try something else. Don't accuse me of being an appeaser by trying to appeal to the president on a higher level. I'm not an appeaser. Thanks for the call. That brings us to seven. I knew that people would say that, and I took the chance. I could have hidden that. I could do the same thing as all the other conservatives in the media and sit and scream and bellyache all day long, call them every name under the sun. What has been changed? Nothing. All they do is laugh all the way to the bank. All the conservatives do is attack Obama and laugh all the way to the bank. You heard me. Their ratings are sky high. Their advertising is great. And what have they done to change a thing? Nothing. Zero. So don't be gulled by the crap that you hear putting them down. It's gotten us nothing. Maybe, just maybe, maybe if you talk to the man's higher nature, you might just reach him. You never know where an appeal might lead. That's my message. And if I'm an appeaser, well, so be it, then an appeaser. Then it makes the Pope an appeaser. Then it makes Jesus an appeaser. It makes Moses an appeaser. It makes every religious man on this planet an appeaser for trying to bring peace to the earth. And if that's what I become, then that's what I become. Then I've changed forever. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Listen, I know I'm going to get a lot of heat. I mean, it's easy for people to sit in their living rooms and say, oh, Savage has become an appeaser. He sent a nice letter to the president. He's given up the fight. Well, you could look at it that way. But you're sitting in your living room, what, wanting someone to scream and curse him and put him down? And what has that gotten you? What exactly has that gotten you? Nothing. Zero. And let me tell you something else. Having worked in the fields of alternative medicine for many years, let me tell you how that works. It was the theory of those who were pioneers and geniuses in complementary medicine or alternative medicine, meaning non-drug medicine, that when a person had a disease working in their body, you used every possible attack on a disease organism that you could use. And that would include vitamins, minerals, herbs, acupuncture, homeopathy, and even allopathic medicine. You used everything at once. In other words, you tried to attack the disease organism from every different angle. And so the angle that I am using in my appeal to the president is certainly different than that which you have heard on this show and others. How long can I listen to everyone in conservative radio whining like babies, like beaten women? They sound like women who've been beaten, whining and saying, oh, he's evil, he's mean, he's beating me up. Oh, look what he just did about the coal. Oh, look what he did with the immigrants. Oh, look what he did about this. You sound like a bunch of women who've been beaten up by a bad husband. And I'm sick of listening to it, and I'm not going to join that chorus anymore. Not if I remember what I wrote this weekend. I'm not joining that chorus. I don't want to sound like a beaten wife. It's sickening. You want to talk about appeasing? That's appeasing. That's the mark of a weakling and an appeaser, is to be complaining day and night about what the president did. That's the mark of weakness, not of strength. You can scream all you want, and all you hear is hysteria. That's the hysteria of losers that you're hearing in conservative radio, and that's why the medium is melting down. No one can listen to it anymore. A bunch of ninnies screaming, oh, he did this, oh, look what Obama did that, oh, let's have Mrs. This on, let's have this writer on, look what the president did, yeah, 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 day and night. So everyone says, you know what? America loves a winner. Let's not join those conservative losers who all they're doing is crybabying. So I figured I've had enough of it. So now either I've had a satori over the weekend, as is said in Japan, which means a great insight, or something else has happened. But whatever's happened, happened. I wrote the letter, I posted it on my website, and I just read it on the Savage Nation. I have to live with it. It's that simple. I have to live with it. Either I'm right or I'm wrong, but it's something. It's a different approach. Keisha, WMAL in Washington, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, glad to be on. Dr. Savage, I applaud you. Thank you for finally letting me on. And I just want to say, yes, you finally know your place. As a European in America, you finally know your place beneath an African-American.
Sounding like a race. Keisha, do you actually believe that you sound intelligent and noble, or do you sound like a racist?
The immigration policy.
So, Keisha, stop. Keisha, you sound like a racist pig. Do you understand that?
Oh, same to you. And thank you for...
Keisha, how far did you go in school? Was it the second or third grade?
And get all the information.
Keisha, how far did you go in school? Was it the second or third grade?
How long did your mama... go to school?
Keisha, how long did you go to school? Two, 3 years?
That's right.
Can you write more than can you write and spell more than 150 words of English? You have no idea what you just said. You are so ignorant. You're such a racist pig. You don't even know what you just said.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It's 34 minutes after the hour. We are talking about the president's destructive policies towards America and the permanent damage they are doing. And my appeal to the president with a letter from another point of view, which is a positive point of view. And I want to say this to you right now. What you may not know, having listened to that ignorant racist who called at the end of the last hour, a woman with no brains whatsoever, not even understanding what a racist pig she is, and what she sounds like and what she just basically did for her own race by speaking that way. She doesn't even understand any of that. She's not the issue. I was having lunch yesterday in an Indian buffet alone, and at the end of it, a woman came up to me with a daughter. Her daughter was a college age, and she said to me timidly, are you Dr. Savage? Yes. She said, I just want to say that I'm a leftist, a real liberal, but I love your show. I said, how do you love me and hate me at the same time? She said, I just love your reasoning. I love your thought. I love the way you present ideas. I said, then how do you continue to believe in what your politics are? And she was actually dumbfounded. And I said to her, how can you believe in a president who's introduced such a spying network in this country that would put Eastern Europeans' spy networks to shame? What he has done to this country by spying on every American is brought us into a police state, a totalitarian state, and everyone is unsafe. She said, oh, I know. In fact, my daughter right here wrote an essay about that in college. And she's agitated about what Obama's done with spying on everyone. And I will tell you this. You have no idea how many liberals detest this president, and yet they're still liberals. And the reason is because they're liberals and he is not. The president is not a liberal. He is so out of the ken of liberalism that they've abandoned him. What evidence do I have of this? Last week, a very prominent university left-winger, and I always forget his name. I don't mean to disrespect him, but I don't respect him, and I don't even remember his name, but he's very famous among liberals. And one of the most diehard communist types that you've ever heard of. I forget his name. He wrote a letter to the Washington Post saying that Obama has brought us into a totalitarian state from which we may never recover, and that all of us are now in danger because of the massive NSA spying scandal. Do you realize what's going on? Do you know that Obama has lost his liberal base? So who is his base? The answer, my friends, is Keisha, the ignorant racist pigs, the illegal immigrants who have no love for anything but a free handout, the pigs on welfare, the pigs who collect government handouts without giving anything to society, even though they may be able-bodied, the takers, not the makers. And Obama knows that. He knows that he has no constituency even amongst liberals. He knows that. Oh, yes, the billionaires may love him, like Mark Zuckerface. Why would a billionaire like Mark Zuckerface, who's worth, I don't know, hundreds of billions of dollars, why would he love Obama? Why is he campaigning for more cheap labor from Mexico and India? Because he wants to make even more money. By bringing in guest workers under H-1B visas, Mark Zuckerface, despite his billions, will make even more billions. And he then couches it as though he cares about people from Central America and Mexico. He doesn't. He wants the cheap labor from India. That's what he wants. Now, how do I prove it? An article came out about technical workers in computer companies who have to teach workers from India who are brought in on H-1B visas how to take their jobs. In the last months of their jobs, they have to teach those from India who are working for about half the wages how to do their jobs. In other words, they're committing suicide at the request of their company, like Computer World. I think it was Computer World, is forcing American workers to teach Indians being brought in here on H-1B visas how to take their jobs, teaching them how to do their jobs for half the money. And all of the workers at Computer World put American flags in their cubicles as a voice of protest. And they said the Indians didn't even understand what the protest meant. They had no idea. So that's the constituency of Obama. Do you understand? The billionaires and the trillionaires like Mark Zuckerberg and the ignorant welfare suckers at the bottom. They're all one and the same. Now let's go to the callers. Ty on KSFO, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Man, I love your analysis. I mean, if you really consider Obama as a boxing champion, one thing about champions, they're vicious, ruthless, and they don't stop until their opponent is utterly destroyed. And
Ty, you're 1,000% right. You're 1,000% right, but that was what my appeal was, Ty. What I'm saying to him is he has defeated his opponents, and now it's time to not kill them. I want you to listen to the most important line in here. I said, it is not too late for a champion to stop pummeling his opponents and see where his beating them will lead. Mr. Obama, I wrote, killing your opposition is not wisdom, it is murder.
I mean, I think the guy is already on a bloodlust. I mean, he's a pretty good observer and an analyst too. And I think he's picked it up from watching how the Taliban fight us, where they use the children as a human shield. And that's what this invasion of orphans is. It's the human shield that Obama's using to fight back against us, the citizenry. I mean,
Yes, there's no question that the advisors to Obama, meaning the enemies of America in La Raza who have been put into the White House, decided to use the children as a cover for the gangbangers. There's no question that there's something very evil afoot here.
Well, anything short of a military coup like what happened in Egypt, I don't think he's going to stop. I mean, the guy is a ruthless, vicious champion who will not stop until the citizenry becomes this world citizenry, this new world order that from Bush Sr. was campaigning for. That's my observation anyway. And Mike,
well, no, you're probably, hey, listen, Ty, I tend to think you may be right, but listen to my main point. You can never, ever tell where a man, how a man can be reached. Are you at all in the fighting world, Ty?
Yes, I used to fight when I was a kid, younger age.
So you know what boxing is. It's a ruthless sport. But what amazes me, Ty, is that after a man beats the other man, he puts his arm around them. And have you ever seen that? That part of sportsmanship amazes to me. You know, I saw it the other night in a fight. He beat the guy to a pulp, and after the fight, they hugged each other. I had tears in my eyes when I saw that kind of sportsmanship. That's why I love to watch boxing. It is an amazing sport to watch.
Well, that's what you said, sportsmanship. But this is not sportsmanship, Mike. This is utter viciousness. I mean, what's your analysis and your observation and how Eric Holder and Obama are working together to you know, change the demographics of how we live and what we believe. I mean, it's overwhelming when you think about it. And Mike,
so do you? Well, then let's go to the next point. Do you think Holder and Obama are bringing in these millions and millions of illegal aliens in order to diminish the white race in this country? Let's be very honest.
I mean, it's blatantly obvious as a observer myself, Mike, and you know, I notice things in because of my occupation, and just like how you talked about when you're when you're a professor and you analyze the cells and you discovered and had certain opinions. Well, same thing with like-minded people, and I'm just thinking why is the question? But then again, you know, you can't reason why.
So you think that these people are absolute diehard racists and they have a vendetta against the European American? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's part of my observation, Mike. I mean, it doesn't take, you know, a brain surgeon to figure out when someone's got some kind of angst against a population. I mean, you're not a Chamberlain. I know you use what God gave you and your abilities to use words, and I can understand your appeal. You're like, Obama, don't you understand it's your children that are going to suffer? You may win the fight.
Yes, that's exactly right. You got the point. I'm trying to appeal to him through his children. He's not a single man. He has children. What kind of world does he want these beautiful girls to live in? A world where there's massive spying and which is overrun by illegal aliens? What kind of world are they creating?
Well, that's what I don't understand, because, you know, the whole point of why the politicians are entrusted with the rule of governing is to see that our future is held bright, and we have something to pass on to our children. And from what I see, it's being destroyed. And where is it going to go when these, the Muslims are getting a foothold, and then they get nuclear weapons, and then what are we going to have?
Well, that's right. Now you're taking it to the next level, the international level. We have the weapons to destroy them now. And the old argument, we don't know where their home is a crock of garbage. We know where they are. We know where they live. We know where they train. And this military could wipe them off the planet. And yet they do nothing. And as I said before, the way the Muslims took over two-thirds of the world in less than a century, well over 1,000 years ago, was through small armies of 1,000 men or less who burned, killed, and marauded their way across the planet. People don't understand they're doing the same thing now. That was the first crusade of the Muslims. They're doing it again.
When they took over, they made slaves of the population. I mean, that's where it's going to end up. His children, Obama's children, are going to be slaves and wearing burqas if he doesn't fight back now and stop this Muslim horde from, you know, coming across our borders, whether they are under the disguise of this, you know, so-called children human shield, or where they're going to, you know, take over the entire Middle East.
Well, that's right. If you go to Dulles Airport, you will see that most of the TSA screeners wear burqas. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Now, who in the world would bring in Muslims from the Middle East and turn them into TSA screeners? But this was done not under the Obama administration. It was done under the Bush administration, Ty. This has been going on ever since the Clintons took over this country. We're almost out of time, but I'll tell you, we got a lot of thinking people on this planet. Again, I want to talk about the growth of Muslim power in 25 years, not 100 years, and how the Muslim empire expanded in only 25 years from the time of the death of Muhammad in 632, I believe. I got to get my magnifying glass. Hold on, I want to get my facts right. Muhammad died in the year 632. By the year 656, the Muslim Empire has spread to two-thirds of the area of the world as we know it. It's one of the most amazing stories of conquest in the whole history of the human race. And that was because they conducted small wars with less than 1,000 men, and they were ruthless, just as they are doing in Iraq now, killing their opponents. And remember who they're killing. They're killing Muslim soldiers in the Iraq army. Many of you won't see the pictures because the cowards in the press will not publish the pictures. They are capturing soldiers on the battlefield, tying their hands behind their back, and shooting them in the back of the head, leaving ditches filled with dead Iraqi soldiers. And yet the world does nothing. We've not seen this since Nazi Germany. We're witnessing the arising of the arrival on this planet of a new Nazi power under the guise of religion. And just as bad as the Nazis were, these are worse, because they're using religion as a Trojan horse to destroy everything in their path. Look, I have a lot more to say about this, and I've said it before, I've written about it before, but they're on the war path again, and they're very active, and they're winning, and it has to do with our weakness internationally. What's ironic here is that domestically Obama is like a champion boxer who cannot be touched by his domestic opponents. Internationally, he's like a wimp who can't even lift his hands. He's being beaten to a pulp around the globe. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I mean, if you're listening, you know the topics, and many of you are mainly disagreeing with me, and think that Obama is so far gone and so vicious that there is no appealing to his better nature. I disagree with you. I would say that when you have a virulent situation such as this, you must try many different approaches. It's that simple. Jimmy on WABC in New York City, thanks for calling. What's your opinion?
My opinion is, Michael Savage, first of all, let me just tell you, I love you. I got your letter. I'm listening to you all day on that website, the one the guy set up for you, with all the phone calls you have done. And as you came on at 3 o'clock, 3:05 over here in Staten Island, I'm listening. You asked us to go. I said, yes, Dad. I went right to my computer, and I shot it out on my Facebook, because I understand where you're coming from. How much more skin could you peel off an apple before you get to the core of it? And it's disgusting that nobody in this world is understanding, and I do mean the world, is understanding where you're coming from. I had three friends call me up and tell me, what are you doing? What are you sending that out for? Why? Because America's falling to its knees. He cut the belly open, and all the poison is pouring out. And as it's pouring out, more poison's coming in. And like you said a couple of days ago, Mr. Savage, who's going to feed these people? You got these ICE agents changing diapers, washing them, and they're having sex while they're waiting as the other guy's washing and doing the baby. It's become, I don't know what...
We've got a criminal running the Homeland Security Department who should be... See, if we had an opposition party, they would stop him immediately and use a citizen's arrest on him for having failed at his job. It is a crime against America to permit these hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens in this country for any reason whatsoever. He could be arrested by the Republican Party. They could issue a bench warrant from the Congress. They're not doing it. And the reason they're not doing it is because, I'll tell you a little secret, in my opinion, the Republicans are in on the scam. They also want the immigrants in this country. They are also sold on the very same plan, which is why Eric Cantor lost. And I want to thank you for going to michaelsavage.com and printing my Father's Day appeal to the president and sending it out on Facebook. I ask the rest of you to do that. Father's Day appeal, printed from michaelsavage.com. You can be my website. You can magnify my website. You can magnify the message. Now, if you disagree with it and you want to just simply sit and fume and curse President Obama, go ahead. See what it's going to get you. Ask you what it got you for the last 6 years. What's it gotten you? All the belly aching. Every talk radio show is the same. Obama's this, Obama's that, Obama did this, Obama did that. All day long, from rush to the end of the day. Obama did this, Obama did that. Look what he did now. Ooh, 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 ooh. All day long, all you're doing is... So what does it sound like? A bunch of losers. Screaming, crying losers. So I tried something different. Have I gotten a call from the White House to come and share some fries with Michelle? No. but there's always tomorrow. Tomorrow we may share a Big Mac together and an order of fries because it's my favorite food and I don't care about my diet. I'll be back in a few minutes right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, plan to
slave all day. Yes, indeed. Well, we're not at Tuesday yet. You know, you work now about 3 days a week for the welfare recipients and illegal aliens and the government contractors and the corporate heads who pay no taxes. Welcome to the Savage Nation. And here we are. It's no longer Blue Monday. It's Blue Monday, Blue Tuesday, Blue Wednesday, and Blue Thursday. And before long, it'll be Blue Friday as well if we don't stop this juggernaut called the left-wing fanatics who have taken over this government. And so I'm not going to read the letter again because I read it in the top of the first 2 hours. It's a letter to President Obama, a Father's Day appeal, where I compared him to a champion boxer who cannot be touched by his opponents. And I ended by saying it is not too late for a champion to stop pummeling his opponents and see where his beating them will lead. I said, Mr. Obama, killing your opposition is not wisdom, it is murder. And I basically appealed to him to ask him and his wife to ask themselves if their beautiful children will be living in a freer America and a better America where there is now spying on every citizen, where their obsession with immigration reform, because of La Raza and other criminal enterprises, in my opinion, has led to a floodgate of unskilled immigrants who will be a burden on your children's children and who have displaced the poorest of America's poor in their need for services which we can never afford. That's what I appealed for in my letter. And I want to say to you, many say, well, that's an appeaser's letter, you're like a weakling. I said the exact opposite is true. There is weakness in screaming sometimes, and there is strength in reason. And I try to use what I think is a reasonable approach to an unreasonable man and unreasonable advisors who are dead-bent on imposing their left-wing fanatical agenda on this nation, and all the screaming in the world has not stopped them. So maybe an appeal to reason will, is all I said. I didn't say it would. I said maybe it would. That's what I said. And then I quoted Goethe, G-O-E-T-H-E, for those of you who don't know who I'm referring to, who wrote something I never forgot. Remember, I'm a former school teacher, and I taught in inner city schools. That's a code word for all black schools. And I was the only white teacher in those schools. But it was a long time ago, and I found a way to talk to the kids. And what I found was is that Goethe's words worked then. And he said, if you take a man as he is, you make him worse. If you take him as he can be better, or he might get better. And that's true with the criminals. It's true with people who are pig-headed. It's people who are stubborn. If you constantly react to their stubbornness, they're only going to get more stubborn. If you appeal to the other part of their nature, which may or may not work, maybe, just maybe, they'll be a better person. I know that's liberal, but so what? It's also reality. It does work. Because otherwise, you may as well give up on everything on earth and say that they're all no good and just kill everybody. I mean, we can't live in that world. And so that's where that was. Now, I'd like to take a couple of calls on these topics. Let's begin in Florida on WFTL in Fort Lauderdale. Bean, welcome to the program. Bean, what do you think? What's on your mind?
Your speech is brilliant, descriptive, and apt. One of the best I've ever heard or read in my life. This shit is down like 21st century Winston Churchill in my mind. Obama is knocking out his opponents right and left, and he's dancing around all the time, and they're intimidated, they're befuddled. And the irony is, when he goes overseas, he's like somebody punch drunk.
Yes.
They laugh at him.
Yes, but Bean, that's why I wrote this. I wrote this for today's radio show. I posted it on my website, michaelsavage.com, and it's going to be the preface to my forthcoming book, Stop the Coming Civil War. It's actually an appeal to the president, and I ask him to read the book, scan the book that will be out in October, in order for him to see the disasters that have befallen our nation because of his victories, and that sometimes victory can be defeat. It's very philosophically true that a victory can be defeat and defeat can be victory. And you listen to the Bob Dylan song, you know, how does that Bob Dylan song go, "The loser shall be the win"? It's an amazing story. But it's also true that the winner shall be the loser. And I don't think they understand that in the White House. I think they're so monodimensional that they don't understand that. I want to go to another topic. I know it's the third hour, and I have a certain, probably 200 affiliates at this point. I normally have affiliates that drop for the third hour in some markets, but I still have a huge audience that's very important to me, and I don't know how far and wide it is, but I want to introduce this today, and I'll continue with it tomorrow. I wrote a letter yesterday to a congressman in Texas because I have no representation in the state of California. I have no senators, and I have no congressmen who represent me, even though I've lived here since 1974. I've had to go to Texas and Oklahoma to have any representation whatsoever. That shows you how defunct the state of California is. There is a one-party system of corruption like I've never seen in the United States of America. So I wrote the congressman this letter. I'm going to read it to you, and I'm not going to tell you his name. And I said, "Dear Congressman Michael Savage here, I'm offering my lifetime of writings, my archives, both written and spoken, to several universities for their permanent library collections of authors. My friend and attorney, Dan Horowitz, has been in discussions with the University of California at Berkeley to house my life's work. However, politically, I feel my valuable life's work belongs in a more conservative environment. Would you happen to have someone you could discuss this with, perhaps at the University of Texas? The collection consists of audio recordings of most of my radio shows, annotated and dated going back to 1994. All of my handwritten journals dating back to 1963. Many handwritten manuscripts of both published and unpublished books and articles. Remember, I published 28 books. I have many unpublished books and stories. They're all there in handwritten form. I have daily and weekly planners and many other articles which would be of interest to my millions of listeners and readers, as well as the basis for a future biography. I would donate this archive as a gift under certain conditions. Congressman, let us know if you would be interested in helping find a permanent home for this archival soul of Michael Savage, and happy Father's Day." I'm reaching that point in my life where I have to think about what I want to do with these notes and these records. I'm not an ordinary man. I mean, I'm not supposed to say it, but I'm not an ordinary man. I've created a life's work. And the irony here is that the University of California at Berkeley pays for these things if you're a leftist who belongs to the Occupy movement and you've written a screed against America on a piece of filthy toilet paper. They'll pay a fortune for it to put it into the library. That's very much what's going on in many libraries in liberal communities today. They've been taken over by barbarians. And so I really don't care. They don't deserve it. They're not going to get it. And so I want to donate it, let's say, to the University of Texas or the University of Oklahoma, and I would endow it so they can get a curator to, establish the archive and have it there. And I have radio recordings of all my shows to 1994, which I've had people working on for 7 years, and my journals, which are amazing. I'm having them transcribed as we speak, and unpublished stories and things like that. It's a collection. I have a question for my audience out there. Here's my question to you. Someone in this audience understands the value of this collection. Someone in this audience knows how to appraise such collections. Someone in this audience knows what a literary appraiser is. Someone in this audience knows how to lead us to a literary appraiser. I need to put a dollar value on thousands and thousands of written pages, handwritten pages, that no longer exist. I have exquisite cursive handwriting, which I laboriously learned as a little boy in the Bronx. All my journals are handwritten. Most of my novels and short stories, some are published, some unpublished, are handwritten. And I think it would make for a fascinating collection and a very valuable one for my listeners for years to come. If you know of a literary appraiser, it's odd putting it on the radio because I'm not looking to make any money on it. I'm donating it. So this is not self-serving in that regard. either call the show or contact my call screen or give us your email and we'll get back to you after the show. I'm going to repeat this once or twice in the next few days, hoping that somewhere in the wide world of intelligent people listen to the Savage Nation, there is a lawyer or an individual, perhaps a librarian listening to this program, who understands exactly what I'm talking about and can help this vision happen. If they can create a presidential library for Bill Clinton, if they can create a presidential library for Barack Obama, then I would think there's room for a library, a literary library of Michael Savage, because to millions of Americans, there's great value for this. Now let's go on to the Savage program per se. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. Jim in Las Vegas on KBET on my Father's Day appeal to the president. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hello, Dr. Savage. Pleasure to talk with you. I have mixed feelings about your letter because while it speaks of honor and wholesomeness and integrity, I do believe you're trying to appeal to a man who doesn't have a better nature. And I don't know if it's because he doesn't have it or he's just beholden to somebody else.
So you don't believe he has a higher nature?
Well, if a person's actions are an indicator of their beliefs and you judge a person by their behaviors, you just have to look at all the things that he did, like during the sequester, the 36,000 criminal illegals that he released, the Taliban leaders he released, children sneaking across the border, Lois Lerner's missing emails now. This is not the behavior of an honest, ethical man.
I would agree with you in principle, but notice how I posed my letter. Listen, I wrote this. I appeal to you, Mr. President, to understand where your victories have and are leading our nation. And I said to him that you may be used by evil forces. I also told him to think carefully about his beautiful children and what kind of America they will inherit. And listen what I wrote. I said, Mr. Obama, have your advisors taken us down a dangerous path? We're spying on every citizen now threatens each of us, including your own family. I then go down again and talk about his advisors. I am trying to tell him that as skilled as he is as a politician, and he is about as skilled as any I've ever seen, he may not even understand that his advisors have led him and the nation astray. And I mean that. I sincerely mean it. You may think that they know what they do. You may think they all know exactly what the ramifications are of their policies. I'm not so sure of that. I think that they are living in such a closed world, in such a bubble, they may not even understand what's going on outside of themselves.
Well, with what you're saying, I agree, because the problem with Obama is you don't know if he's a brilliant boxer or if he was paid to take a dive. If you fall for a lot of the things that he does when he punches and counterpunches and people start screaming for impeachment, then he can counterpunch with rallying the Democratic base. And I'm just wondering if the Republicans are trying to lie in wait while the country falls in disarray, but they're trying to lie in wait so that maybe they can be a little stronger if they take the Senate, you know, this upcoming.
Well, I think the Republicans are so weak. I think the Republicans are so spineless that they're not laying in wait for anything. I think they're cowering in fear. I think they have no strategy whatsoever. Look at what just happened. Cantor loses by a landslide, $10 million to $200,000. Mr. Bratt wipes the floor with Cantor on one issue and one issue alone, illegal immigration. And what does Boehner say the next day? Will not change one iota. It will not change our policies one iota. What does that tell you about the extinct dodo Republican Party?
They're just as corrupt as the Democrats.
No, I think that they're just as disconnected. They're just as extinct as an entity as the other party. You know, it's interesting. I mentioned the last hour, I'm going to make this quick, I'm almost running out of time again, that I ran into a liberal woman with her daughter who introduced herself as a liberal who loves my show. And I kept telling her what Obama's doing. How can you be a liberal with the spying? And she said, oh, I agree, it's terrible. And I said, what about all the gangbangers that are coming in hidden with those children? Oh, I didn't know about that. I haven't seen the pictures. And on and on. And I realized in talking with her that it's not so much that they're evil, it's that they're ignorant. They don't know what's going on. And I said, what do you think about that victory of Eric Cantor, the defeat of Eric Cantor by the little guy? She said, that's wonderful. I think that's great. I said, well, why would you as a liberal think that's great? She said, well, because it gives us all hope. It gives us all hope that the little person can take on this corruption in our political system. That was a liberal woman talking to me. So don't think they don't know how corrupt Obama and the Democrat Party and Jerry Brown and the Democrat Party in California is. They're sick and tired of Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, Jerry Brown, and the juggernaut of the one-party system. They hate it. Don't think the liberals wouldn't like an honest person to run in this state. They hate what's going on. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Hey, so we're witnessing the new crusades of the radical Islamists, and they're winning. And I want to take you back in history. When Muhammad died, his loyal, most loyal supporter, Abu Bakr, sustained him. And when Muhammad died, Abu Bakr became caliph. And with the faith that moves mountains, Abu Bakr set himself to organize the subjugation of the entire world to Allah. And he used little armies of 3,000 or 4,000 Arabs. And he wrote letters to all the monarchs of the world warning them that he would conquer them with little armies of 3,000 to 4,000. And then the most amazing story of conquest in the history of the world began. And in only 25 years, a huge swath of the world fell under the sword of Allah. From Persia to Arabia to Egypt, they were converted into Muslims as a result of murder, as a result of death. And that is how it occurred. It was not through the word of peace and love, like Christians spread their word. Through peace and love, the word of Christ is spread through peace and love. The missionaries do it that way. The Muslims do it by killing and slaughtering and murder. And if you think it's any different today than it was in the times that I'm telling you about, then you don't know anything about history. The Byzantine army defeated at the Battle of Yarmouk. Then came Persia, then Syria, then Damascus, then Palmyra, then Antioch, then Jerusalem, all falling without resistance to the Muslim invasions. Large elements of the population becoming Muslim. Then they turned east, and they fought the Persians. The Persians were defeated in 637. Then followed the defeat of Western Turkestan until it met the Chinese. Egypt fell almost without resistance to the Muslim conquerors. Ladies and gentlemen, you are witnessing a new crusade. It will be in your backyard before you know it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Still got too many workplace policies that belong in the 1950s, and it's time to bring them up to date for today's families, where oftentimes both parents are working. Moms and dads deserve affordable child care and time off to care for a sick parent.
There he goes, pushing the left-wing agenda that's been dropped in Europe, which tried it, sticking to his 1960s anti-American mentality, because his advisors are stuck in the past, not in the future. And I wrote a Father's Day appeal to the president where I compare him to a champion boxer who cannot be touched by his opponents, just like this Cotto fight. Each time Cotto's opponent hit him with one punch, Cotto was so quick, his hand speed was so fast, that he counted with three blows. And by the sixth round, he had worn out his opponents. Right now, in this year of Obama's second term, he has worn out his Republican opponents. They have given up. They're defeated. Yes, you heard me. He is like a champion boxer who cannot be touched. And that's why I wrote my appeal. And I want you to understand something. Nobody in the media, in the conservative media especially, only in the conservative media, because obviously the liberals wouldn't write it, nobody has written what I've written. Nobody has taken the lead I've taken. No one has appealed to Obama as a champion, as a winner. Every one of them is using the wrong approach. Maybe, just maybe, and I say maybe, this appeal to the president on a totally different level will have an effect that all of the attacks cannot. What do you think of that? I'm not going to weigh it in advance by telling you what you should think of it. Many of you may be shocked that I treat him with such respect and dignity. Many of you may say for the first time, you have it just right. Many of you will not know what I just said because you haven't heard the normal belly aching about Obama on every minute of every radio show. But then again, different strokes for different folks. Yesterday was Father's Day, as most of you know, except those of you who live in San Francisco and think you never came from a family. It was Father's Day, and we celebrate Father's Day in America, despite the fact that you celebrate the world's naked bike ride. The world is burning, and you fools think that riding naked on a bicycle is a real cool mark of protest. You're just so au courant in San Francisco. Yes, let's have a naked bike ride. Let's shock the bourgeoisie from Kentucky and from Kansas. Let's ride naked in San Francisco and think we're so wild and cool. Yes, indeed. Well, yesterday, I was watching a boxing match replayed of a man named Cotto. Those of you who don't follow boxing, it doesn't matter. He's amazing. He's fast. And what happened was, during the fight, I noticed that the opponent, who was excellent, was hitting him maybe once, and Cotto would counter with three blows. In fact, by the sixth round, it became apparent that he couldn't be beat. Cotto could be they couldn't touch him. The opponent could not touch him. Could not touch him. Couldn't lay a glove on him. And as I say, for every one blow that hit Mr. Cotto, Cotto returned three. And a bell went off in my head, and I realized that that's President Obama. He's like a championship fighter who cannot be touched by his opponents. If you listen to talk radio, if you listen to the belly-aching Republicans, what you hear are crybabies. People moaning, oh, he did this, oh, he did that, oh, no one will do anything. Oh, he did this, oh, now he did that, oh, he did this, oh, he did that, like a bunch of sissies. All you hear in talk radio is sissies crying about Obama. And then I realized something. We have him all wrong. And so I wrote the president a letter, a Father's Day appeal, which I published. And I really, you know, many of you listen to the show. I mean, I know we have a large audience. I run into people who never go to the website. I'm not going to read you the whole essay. Please go to michaelsavage.com and see my Father's Day appeal to the president. You'll see a beautiful picture of the president, the first lady, and two beautiful children. And you'll see my appeal to the president. I want you to send it to everyone on your Facebook and Twitter lists. And I want to read you what I wrote, and then I'm going to ask you what you think about it. And here's what I wrote the president. And as I read this to you, I'm going to ask you what you think of my email to the president. I'm sure he'll never see it, but just maybe, this letter will reach him. Dear President Obama, I wrote, you are like a champion boxer who cannot be touched by your opponents. You have outsmarted and outboxed them at every turn. I appeal to you to understand where your victories have and are leading our nation. While you may think winning is all, you must also understand that even victory has its consequences. And while you may actually believe you're doing the best for our nation, the exact opposite may be true. Yes, Mr. Obama, you are the champion. You have crushed your domestic political opponents. But at what cost? Why have our foreign enemies been winning at every turn? Could it be you have and are being used by evil forces? In the following pages, meaning in the book that I'm about to write, I try to spell out the disasters both home and abroad which have befallen our great nation. For the sake of your children and the other children of America, Mr. Obama, please consider the results of your keen political skills. Is it a safer America, a freer America, that your beautiful children will inherit? Or have your advisors taken us down a dangerous path? Where spying on every citizen now threatens each of us. Where your obsession with immigration reform has led to a floodgate of unskilled immigrants who will be a burden on your children's children and who have displaced the poorest of America's poor in their need for services, which we can never afford. Where your targeting of your conservative political opponents with IRS audits has all but annihilated the two-party system so carefully preserved for these past centuries since our founding. Would your children benefit from one-man rule, Mr. Obama? Will America's children be better off with a one-party system, Mr. Obama? Mr. Obama, please scan the following pages. I'm again referring to my forthcoming book. And try to understand the dangers you have created both domestically and around the world. While you are a political genius and champion who cannot be touched by your domestic opponents, I appeal to you to give peace a chance. To give peace a chance. Let peace enter your heart, Mr. Obama, and see the dangerous straits where you have led this nation. It is not too late for a champion to stop pummeling his opponents and see where his beating them will lead. Mr. Obama, killing your opposition is not wisdom, it is murder. Let not your advisors lead you any further astray. Please use your skills to bring this nation, our people, together in peace and in strength. Michael Savage. That's my essay to President Obama. And I want to ask you, the listeners, what you think of it. The president was at West Point a while ago, and instead of talking about the scourge of radical Islam and how to wipe it out, he told them to fight climate change. Of course, we're talking about the situations in the world. I mean, it's news, views, and reviews, and what's bigger news right now than Iraq, which has gone up in smoke? It's what I feared would happen when Bush invaded Iraq. And as I wrote in Liberalism as a Mental Disorder in 2005, by the way, it was a huge best-selling book. It was not an obscure book. It doesn't matter that it's not mentioned by fraudulent conservatives in the media. The important thing is that the American audience knows I wrote it. Most of what they hear on radio today may as well be taken verbatim from my book, because everything I wrote is what you hear on every other show over and over again. Over and over and over again. It's that simple. You say it once and you say it perfectly so others repeat it and make believe they discovered it. But that's not the point. The point is I feared this would happen. I felt that the neocons were misleading President Bush. And speaking of President Bush, our hats off to his father, who celebrated his 90th birthday by doing a skydive out of an airplane. That was amazing. I mean, you know how gutsy that is at any age? But you see a 90-year-old man with that kind of heart, that's amazing. It makes you yearn for the days of Bush Sr., who, by the way, was a far better president than Bush Jr., which I said during Bush Jr.'s reign. Because, going back to Iraq again, on that issue alone, I distinctly recall saying the following. I said, when Bush 1 invaded Iraq in the first Iraq war, if you remember, he could have, of course, the American troops could have taken all of Iraq, but his advisors were far more far-seeing, Bush 1. He had smarter men around him. And they said, we don't want to take down Saddam and the entire Revolutionary Guard, nor do we want to decimate all of his tanks and all of his airplanes. We want to weaken him so he's not a greater threat to the area, but we want to keep him as a counterbalance to the growing threat of Iran. And that was Bush 1. Then along came Polly, that is Bush 2, and Bush 2 was advised by very intemperate men from the conservative think tanks, Wolfowitz and crowd, and the neocons said, go for the throat, kill them all, take out the Revolutionary Guard, take out Saddam and his sons, and God knows what happened, and what happened is now sowed the wind, reaping the whirlwind. And the whirlwind is now Iran is the big winner. You have to remember that the original borders of ancient Persia included Iraq, because Iraq didn't exist until the end of World War II, so far as I know, and I'm no expert on history, but Iran once occupied that entire area. And what Iran is now doing is regaining everything that they lost over the centuries, thanks to the incompetence of Bush and the complicity of Obama. And soon we will see the whirlwind hit us here in the United States of America. I hope not, but I fear so. I fear that we have brought in so many unknown immigrants who have come here under the guise of asylum that we have God knows how many jihadists sitting in this country, not being looked at by the administration for fear of offending the Muslim pressure groups. That's how the Boston Marathon bombing occurred, as anyone with a brain knows. Now let's go back to some of the sound. Robert, do we have clip 8 where Hillary blames George Bush for Iraq? Let's listen to Hillary Clinton in this one.
The deadline on Iraq was set by the prior administration. And when President Obama came in, he was obviously not an enthusiast about the Iraq war from the very beginning, very strong critic of it, both its initiation and its handling.
Okay, so what is our point? The fact of the matter is that Obama, being the egomaniac that he is, doesn't listen to his generals, if there are any left who will even stand up to him. They did not advise abruptly pulling all of our troops out of Iraq. They said you better leave a conservative force back there, meaning a force of men there who can stop exactly what's happening today from happening. But Obama was so anxious to be the peacenik leader that he said, no, get all our troops out of there. And so the vacuum that was created by Obama, not by Bush said, yes, we'll be out of there, but he didn't say take all the troops out of there. No, Obama said take all the troops out of there. So the vacuum is now being filled by McCain's army. Yes, there's blame on both sides of the dummy aisle. McCain, the dummy who doesn't shut his mouth every minute he's on another television show, if you remember, was running hither and yon telling us we had to arm the Syrian rebels. Who are the Syrian rebels? I think many of them are now invading Iraq through the Northern Corridor with weapons supplied by McCain's friends. So, you know, there's a lot of blame to go around, and there's nothing I can say about it other than looking in from the outside. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
As we come to the end of hour number three of the Savage Nation for today, Monday, the 16th of June, 2014, I want to direct you to my appeal to President Obama, a Father's Day appeal. It's on michaelsavage.com. In essence, I wrote the president in the most respectful manner, comparing him to a champion boxer who cannot be touched by his opponents. I said you have outsmarted and outboxed your opponents at every turn. And I said to him, Mr. Obama, I appeal to you to understand where your victories are and have been leading our nation. And while you may think winning is all, you must also understand that even victory has its consequences. And while you may believe that you are doing the best for our nation, the exact opposite may be true. I said, yes, you are the champion, but Mr. Obama, please understand what I'm saying. I appeal to you to give peace a chance. Let peace enter your heart and see the dangerous straits where your policies have led this nation. It is not too late for a champion to stop pummeling his opponents and see where his beating them will lead. Mr. Obama, killing your opponents is not wisdom. It is not sportsmanship. It is murder. Let not your advisors lead you any further astray, Mr. Obama. Please use your skills to bring this nation, our people, together in peace and in strength, Michael Savage. It's a complete statement. I suggest you go to michaelsavage.com and forward it to everybody that you know. I will ask my staff to send this around on Twitter and on Facebook as well. Meanwhile, the border is being overrun, not by children from Central America, but by gangbangers with gang tattoos. See the pictures that your media will not show you. Yes, there are many children, but yes, there are many, many, many gangsters coming in as well. Finally, a Republican in Congress called on the president to deploy the National Guard to the southwest border to help the Border Patrol handle the surge of illegal immigrant children. Well, they're now changing diapers and making cocoa for the children. That's the country under this administration. Border agent laments gang members entering U.S. saying, why are we letting them in here? That's what worries me. Is this Obama's private army that he's talked about? It's chilling. Meanwhile, the United States is now about, if you can believe this, join with Iran. That's right, our arch enemy, Iran, will now be our ally in our fight against ISIS. You want to rip your heart out? Well, I did it on purpose. Go to michaelsavage.com and take a look at the elephants with his head cut off from the eyes down. The most beautiful creatures on the planet. Creatures that occupy the planet while you occupy it are having their heads cut off just to take their ivory. Now you say, well, that's terrible. What can I do about it? I made a major donation to a major elephant protection group. You say, well, what good is it? The elephants are dead. They'd all be dead if we didn't try to stop them. But here's the conundrum. You don't know this. Nobody will tell you what I'm about to tell you. Do you know who's slaughtering the elephants? Muslim terrorists are slaughtering the elephants in Africa and selling them in the ivory trade, mainly for the low-life throwbacks in China who think it's sophisticated to have a piece of ivory on their shelf. It's the Chinese who are buying the garbage. And it's the UN, worthless UN, the worthless UN that will not stop the trade in ivory. They're all bought and sold like the cheapest tricks on the lowest block in town. That's what the UN is worth. It's worthless garbage. Billions of dollars. Take a look at the picture of the elephant laying there with his head, not the head cut off. This elephant was one of the biggest in the forest, and he knew that they wanted his tusks. He was so intelligent that he would hide in the woods because he knew his tusks were valuable. That's how intelligent these friends of ours are. And finally, these low-life throwbacks shot him with poison-tipped arrows, and he suffered for days from the poison until eventually his heart gave out and he collapsed. And then they came in with the machetes and cut off his face for his tusks. I want you to look at the picture and I want you to cry. I want your heart to break. And I want you to finally realize that if you do not understand these Islamic murderers are killing Christians and it doesn't matter to you, maybe their killing of the elephants will get to you. And maybe then you'll realize that you're next. Yes, we are the elephant. And yes, they'll kill anything in their way. In the name of Allah! Do you have any idea what you're dealing with? You better have some idea what you're dealing with, or you will be next. That's all I have to say. Good night and God bless America. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.